I can feel everyone staring. The sharply dressed guests, all sipping their cocktails a safe distance from the pool, are surely wondering what I plan to do about the frail 6-year-old struggling to stay afloat in front of me. I'm wondering the same thing. Every time I extend my arms toward the flailing child to offer help, my gesture is refused by his grating scream, "Let me do it!" I feel an uneasy sense of responsibility. But I want to respect his effort, so I continue to let him struggle. The tension between the adults' judging glances and this scrappy kid's determination to persist has me caught in a seriously awkward position, and he's not even my kid. Spencer was the son of my friend Zach, whom I had met in graduate school at the University of Minnesota. Zach and I had kept in touch, and in the fall of 2013, I had a chance to stay with him and his wife Lydia while I attended a psychology conference in Florida. The day I arrived in Florida, they happened to be throwing a birthday party for Lydia in their backyard. For some reason, Spencer instantly latched on to me as his new buddy, which was apparently a departure from his normally aloof disposition. As people arrived at the party, they did the typical things adults do with 6-year-olds. In their best kid voice, they asked Spencer his age, gave him extra cuddly hugs, or wondered aloud, "Do you remember me, Spencer?" They were being lovely, but this small talk in a party setting was like kryptonite for Spencer. I watched his body language slowly shrink while a palpable sense of anxiety began to overcome him. After a well-intentioned guest asked Spencer, "Well, how did you get so handsome, young man?" He abruptly turned toward me and said, "I want you to help me with my swimming." When Spencer and I looked toward Zach and Lydia for permission, they said it would be great if I could occupy Spencer while they attended to their arriving guests. As we prepared to get into the pool, Spencer told me, "Yesterday at my swim lesson, I practiced jumping into the pool and swimming back to the side." He demonstrated this feat 2 or 3 times and then grew bored with his success. As he adjusted his Spider-Man goggles, he proclaimed that he would try to swim the entire 16-foot width of the pool. Spencer directed me to stay 2 feet in front of him while he dog-paddled his way toward the other side. During his initial attempts, he was having trouble making it past the midway point, and each time he began to flounder, he rejected my attempts to help. Eventually, he would relent, ask me for help, and I would carry him back to the ledge. After a minute of rest, he would say, "Let's try again." I'm no Olympian, but even for a 6-year-old, Spencer did not appear to be gifted with much strength or coordination. His swimming had a decidedly spastic vibe, and seeing it gave one a visceral sense of discomfort, which was accentuated by his loud gasps. I appreciated his chutzpah, but one could not help but worry about his ability to stay afloat. I looked to Zach and Lydia for some guidance. They nodded their heads as if this spectacular struggle was completely normal. With each failure to reach the opposite ledge, Spencer became more agitated, and after his 4th failure, he appeared to be on the brink of tears. When I sat him on the ledge, I pointed out the tremendous progress he had already made and suggested that we try again tomorrow. But he was not looking me in the eye, and in fact, I don't think he had heard much of the easy out I provided him. He appeared lost in his mind, replaying the causes for his failures and trying to think of better ways to approach the problem. He looked at me intently, though not quite in my eyes, and in a matter-of-fact tone said, "One more try." To understand Spencer's ambition, it helps to know a little about his parents. During graduate school, Zach was one of the star students in applied mathematics. When he graduated, he took a job at NASA, where he was technically a rocket scientist. Lydia was one of the top intellectual property attorneys in the country. Together, they were a remarkable couple with high-powered intellects and ambitions. But they were also humble and generous people who had always been loyal friends to me. While Zach was driving me back to their house from the airport, he told me that he had been deeply concerned about Spencer. During kindergarten, he showed little interest in playing with other kids. But when he did try to interact with his peers, his efforts came across as overly intense, and other kids found him to be odd. It's not unusual for children to be interested in space travel or trains, but Spencer was obsessed with questions such as planetary orbits and the mechanisms of combustion in different types of engines. The combination of his unusual interests and intense manner made it hard for him to play very well with others. Spencer was bored by his schoolwork, and his teachers described him with terms usually applied to much older children, including bright but disengaged and underachieving.